In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The oxen and the fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But the king's invitation is rejected. They despise him. They hate him. They're more concerned with their own farms than with the profits of their businesses. They would rather spend money for that which is not bread, and labor for that which does not satisfy, than heed their king's gracious invitation to delight themselves in his rich food. Their rejection of the king's favor, his grace, is the most shameful part of it. They rebel against the king who wants nothing more than to share his true joy with them. And from this chief evil come all of the more ridiculous and manifest evils, that they murder his servants, his messengers, who came bringing an invitation and tidings of joy. And so in turn they are destroyed. And yet the fattened calf has been slaughtered and everything is ready. And the king will not let his feast go to waste. He sends out his servants to those who were not invited, to everyone, good and bad. Come to the wedding feast. Come everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. Come you who have no money. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Those first invited would not receive his hospitality. Those who had nothing and should not have been worthy were received. They were declared worthy in the king's gracious invitation. And they were worthy to eat not because they were good or bad, but because the king had prepared this feast. Because the king had prepared the feast, he sent out his messengers to declare that this feast was for them. But then suddenly the party is interrupted. It's like you can hear the scratch of the needle being pulled off the record, and the whole room goes silent. Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? Now, many Christians, I think their preferred image of Jesus is as a friend. There's at least one old favorite that tries to take up that theme. But Jesus, at least in Matthew's gospel, only calls three people friend. And the first is in the parable of the vineyard owner who hires those workers at all hours of the day, pays them the same wage, and it is to the ones who work long and are angry at him that the owner says, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Take what belongs to you and go." The last time that Jesus says that phrase, that word friend, is in the garden to Judas. "Friend, do what you came to do." I wonder if we would be better off translating it in today's gospel as, "Hey buddy, how'd you get in here without a wedding garment?" The words in the Bible that follow Jesus, rather sarcastic use of the term friend, are some of the most gut-wrenching. "Take what belongs to you and go," that is, "go away from me. Bind this man and cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's all very similar to what Jesus says to the sheep in the sheep, what he says to the goats in the parable of the sheep and the goats. "I tell you the truth, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." There's great sadness in that parable. The goats are so confident. They approach Jesus as his friends. Assuming that Jesus is going to be honored to have any decent person as his friend, anyone who is as good and as upstanding as they are. That is not unlike the perversity of those who were invited by the king in our parable. They assume that this king is not going to be angry with them if they blow off his invitation. Maybe they think that his generosity is actually a sign of his weakness. He's a needy king. He's desperate for their attention. Well, their disrespect leads to hatred and to violence. And it is just as Christ said it would be of himself. The Son of Man comes eating and drinking, and they say, "Look at him, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard, he's a friend of tax collectors and sinners." That's the only other use of the word friend in Matthew. When they see that God is going to justify the ungodly, that he is going to forgive sinners, and then invite them also, and especially, to his feast, they are scandalized and they rage against Jesus. They will not let Jesus befriend them as the Savior of sinners. They want to befriend God on their own terms and on their own merits, on account of their own righteousness. And Jesus says that that is not enough. They are lost. Now, the other sadness of Jesus when he calls people friend is heard clearly in his word to Judas. "Friend, do what you came to do," that is, "betray me with a kiss, some friend you are." Jesus had come to save Judas, though. He had come to give him eternal life, and he had called him as one of his apostles. Jesus had befriended Judas. What agonizing pain, then, when this term of endearment, friend, becomes an ironic and almost sarcastic commentary on betrayal. It is just as Psalm 41 predicted it would be. "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." And so it is in today's parable. The Lord had given everything to those off the streets. He'd given them the oxen and the fatted calf. He'd given them the invitation. And almost certainly, he had given them the wedding garments as well. But this man that he finds in his banquet would not have it. He wished to approach the king as if they were casual, as if they were buddies, and not someone that the king had graciously befriended. Took for granted the king's hospitality because he wanted it on his own terms. "Well, buddy, you're mistaken." There is nothing casual about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that there's a specific dress code that has to be kept for church. This isn't a country club. But there is a definite relationship, a kind of relationship, between the Lord and us. And it's always on the Lord's terms, dear Christians. "My ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts." These words of Isaiah and the parable that we have heard today, these are a warning to us. Do not be destroyed. Do not take your Lord's mercy for granted. Don't suppose that you are casual with him. God is not our buddy. Do not presume to be God's friend on any terms except his own. Now, this, of course, means that maybe our dress code and our behavior in general in this, the divine service, the way that we treat the Holy Communion, the manner in which we pray, in which we sing, the manner in which we raise our children. All of this is going to reflect the kind of relationship we have with God. Not a buddy, but as the Lord who has redeemed us, who has given his grace to us. But all of these worship, all of our traditions, those are simply the outpouring of what is really at the heart, what is the central thing. That only in Christ are we righteous. Everything depends on being found in the wedding garment, clothed in the robe of Christ's righteousness. You have not entered into God's kingdom by your own free will or by right. And nor do you remain in this kingdom by your rights, on your own terms, or by your good works. You are saved, rescued. You have been delivered. You are righteous and you are a friend of God and you are his child. Because the kingdom of God is like a king who gave a wedding banquet and invited you. The lamb has been slain. The lamb has been roasted in the fire of God's wrath and cooked on the spit of his cross. God has prepared the feast and he has given his son. God has declared the invitation. God has delivered his great gift to you. He gives you his righteous garment. His righteousness is the garment. And he has covered you in baptism's promise with Christ to be your spotless robe. Thus you are worthy. You have received the royal name and the lineage. You are peasants who have now been adopted as princes and heirs. And he has brought you to his feast, to eat rich food, to be pardoned, and even here on earth to receive not only bread, but all of heaven and eternal life in the Lord's body and blood. Do not assume or take this favor, this grace of God, for granted. But rather, dear saints, receive and take good advantage of it. Do not presume to befriend God on your own righteousness, your own terms, but receive his righteousness and seek it first. Do not imagine that you are God's friend because you pray to him, but pray to him because he has promised to hear you and he has declared himself to be so much more than your friend, but your God, your Lord, your Savior, your substitute, your righteousness. The king invites you, come to the wedding feast. And do not come as you are, but come as he alone has and can declare you, as righteous, as one who is forgiven, one who is clothed in his name and in his holiness. Come not because you are worthy, but come because he has prepared everything already. Many are called. Few are chosen. In Christ, you are chosen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.